And welcome to Washington Today on C-SPAN Radio for Tuesday, November 3rd, 2020, Election Day. The culmination of the barnstorming of battleground states, rallies and stump speeches, ads, tweets and debates on the issues that matter to you. Votes are being cast across the country by the millions to be added to the 100 million or so already cast leading up to today. The first statewide polls close at 7 p.m. Eastern, and then the counting gets underway to determine who will be in the White House the next 4 years and which parties control Congress, among other offices up this year. Coming up, the latest from President Donald Trump and Democratic candidate Joe Biden, plus Washington Times reporter Dave Boyer on how the election night might play out. Updates from battleground states Pennsylvania and Florida, and surprise closed state Texas, and House Speaker Nancy Pelosi on the congressional races and what it might be like working with a President Biden. Associated Press writes, voters marked the end of a fraught U.S. election season at the polls Tuesday, casting the last of what will likely be record number of ballots in the midst of a global pandemic that upended long-established election procedures, prompted an unprecedented surge in mail-in ballots, and triggered hundreds of lawsuits. No major problems were reported, and fears of large-scale voter intimidation or harassment had not materialized by midday. That was from Associated Press. However, New York Attorney General Letitia James said that she is launching an investigation into allegations that robocalls provided misleading voting information and urged voters to stay home today. And in Philadelphia, officials there denying a claim by the Trump campaign that a Republican poll watcher was turned away from precincts. President Donald Trump started his day with a call-in to Fox News Channel's Fox and Friends and then went across the Potomac River to Arlington, Virginia, his national campaign headquarters there. He thanked the staff and spoke with reporters.
I feel very good. After doing that many rallies, the voice gets a little bit choppy, I think. God did not design it for that much, but we did a lot of them. We did actually six the last day because one finished at 2 a.m. So I put it on. So we did five plus sort of one. But we did a lot, and I feel great, really.
If you win tonight, what's your message to Americans who didn't vote for you?
Everybody should come together, and I think success brings us together. We're going to have a tremendous success. We had 33.1% up in growth, GDP, and nobody's ever seen a number like that. The last time, the number was less than half, and I think that was in 1952. So we doubled up the number, more than doubled up the number. I think we're set for tremendous success, and success is going to bring unity. And it was bringing it before, and then we got hit with the China virus, and that certainly had to go back, and I think we've done an incredible job with respect to that, other than public relations, and I'm not sure that it's possible to convince you of it, because, you people were not really convincible no matter what we did, but we've done an incredible job, not only in handling it. Don't forget, we were expecting and people were projecting 2.2 million people. We closed up the greatest economy in the history of the world for any country, not just for our country. And we are now opening it up. We saved more than 2 million lives and did an incredible job with therapies and therapeutics and with, I think, maybe cures, because frankly, some of this stuff is so good. But if you look at the ventilator situation, we had a ventilator problem. And now with all the work that everybody's done, including Jared, people coming in from Silicon Valley, and now we're sending the ventilators all over the world now, all over the world. We're producing them for other countries. But it's been an incredible period of time. And I think that if you look at, I say it proudly, we are rounding the corner, but the vaccines are coming out very soon. They're having tremendous success. Johnson & Johnson, Moderna, Pfizer, and we're going to have something. We're going to have a very special year. Next year, I think, is going to be more successful than it was last year. We had the best year we've ever had last year, and I think we're going to be right in that category for next year. So that's very successful.
Mr. President, have you been an acceptance?
No, I'm not thinking about concession speech or acceptance speech yet. Hopefully, we'll be only doing one of those two. And, winning is easy. Losing is never easy. Not for me, it's not. But I think we have, when you see rallies, the likes of which in the history of this country, probably in the history of the world, nobody's ever seen before. There's a tremendous love going on in this country, and there's really a tremendous unity. There's a tremendous unity. Nobody's ever seen that, where you take an airport, and the airport's not big enough to hold the crowds. Nobody's ever seen a thing like that. And our opposition, as you know, would have a few people sitting in circles, and that's okay. That's not abnormal. That's not abnormal, actually. I mean, that's the way it is. But we would get crowds of 50,000 people, 45,000 people, more. Nobody's ever seen anything like that. So it was an honor. They're great people. These are people that they appreciate what we did. And they also remember before I got there and before we all got there. This group has been with me. A lot of them are very young, but they've been with me, many of them, for a long time, right? A long time. And I just want, I really came here to thank you all. And then I'm going to say, and get immediately back to work.
President Donald Trump at a Republican National Committee facility in Arlington, Virginia, which has served as his campaign headquarters. Democratic nominee Joe Biden started in his hometown, Wilmington, Delaware, going to a church and then to the grave of his late son, Beau, who died of brain cancer in 2015. Then Joe Biden went to Scranton, Pennsylvania, and went to the home where he lived until age 10, signing the same living room wall that he wrote on in 2008 when he was running for vice president alongside then presidential nominee Barack Obama. Joe Biden writing today, from this house to the White House with the grace of God. Biden also spoke to reporters outside.
My name is Joe Biden.
That's right.
I was born at Mercy Hospital in Scranton. By the way, you know, you have no idea how, you know, that old expression. When my dad lived up there and we had to move, things kind of fell apart in terms of jobs. But I had my great-grandfather, Edward Francis Fluke, was the first Irish Catholic elected to the state senate in the state of Pennsylvania. From Scranton. And, you know, it's a long, long history.
Joe Biden in Scranton, Pennsylvania. He was speaking through a bullhorn and was wearing a mask as he spoke to those people outside. He then went to Philadelphia to make a final pitch to voters. Democratic vice presidential nominee Kamala Harris, also in Pennsylvania today, holding a Get Out the Vote event in Bethlehem focused on Latinos. And on the Republican side, Vice President Mike Pence stayed in Washington, D.C., but called in to more than a dozen radio shows around the country, many in those key states where the polls are close. More from the Biden-Harris campaign. Campaign manager Joe Malley Dillon held a teleconference with reporters.
As I said, and as we discussed yesterday, we feel very good about our position in North Carolina, Georgia, and Wisconsin. Together, these three states represent 41 electoral votes. So if we win these three states and hold on to our protect states, we have won 273 electoral votes, and Joe Biden will be president. If you look at this slide, you can see that Trump has to overperform his 2016 Election Day results in all three of these states in order to win. That's pretty significant. So as we talked about yesterday, we look at our early vote data, we look at our expected turnout, we look at what we expect that will happen throughout the day, and we are able to have a very good estimation of what needs to happen and what number Trump has to achieve today to make up the gap he comes into Election Day with. And so for him to exceed and make up that gap, he's going to have to significantly outperform what he did in 2016. For example, in North Carolina, we would estimate that he would need to win 62% of the Election Day vote in order to win today. And in 2016, a state that he won, he had 56% of the vote on Election Day. So certainly not impossible, but definitely far more challenging. And as you look to each of these states, Georgia, a state that has continued to come on incredibly strong over the course of the last several weeks, and we feel very, very well positioned in all three of these states. Georgia and North Carolina will report earlier tonight, so we are very focused on getting those numbers, but we also feel like we are very well positioned. as we get to our next pathway to talk through, that pathway includes states Arizona, Michigan, and North Carolina. So our first pathway, the one I just walked through with you, it assumes we win Georgia and it assumes we win North Carolina. But we don't need to win both of those in order to get to our path to 270. Another path to get there includes Arizona, Michigan, and North Carolina, and they account for 42 electoral votes. Again, this is a situation for Donald Trump where he needs to overperform his 2016 election day in order to win in these states. And that is a significant task for him today. In Michigan, for example, he needs to win 62% of the vote on election day, so on today, of folks coming in today. And that would be overperforming his 2016 vote by more than 10 points. So that is a significant amount of work that would have to be done tonight.
Joe Malley-Dillon is the Biden-Harris campaign manager, and joining us now with more on the presidential election is Washington Times White House correspondent Dave Boyer. Boyer, both sides expressing optimism. You kind of expect that at this point, but only one can be right. How do you see the night unfolding?
Boy, it's so hard to say, Michael. I at this point, I'm still thinking that President Trump has a more than decent chance of pulling it out in spite of everything that's been working against him this year. The Trump campaign people are talking like they're very optimistic about the state of Florida as we speak in mid-afternoon. Republican voters have already exceeded the turnout for the Democrats in that state. And they also feel like the Biden campaign was perhaps preparing their supporters today for losing Pennsylvania in some of their comments. And if Trump can win those two states, I think that would do him pretty well. I mean, he obviously won them 4 years ago, and they were a big part of his victory. So, but I'm not a pollster, and I don't have any clue where we stand. All I know is that, you know, turnout is extremely heavy. It has been in early voting, and, you know, we just have to wait and see.
We'll get back to Pennsylvania in just a second, but besides Florida and Pennsylvania, what other couple of states will you be watching?
Well, North Carolina, for sure, because Trump won that barely 4 years ago. It really would help him if he could win it again. Georgia, I'm kind of expecting, is going to turn blue this year and go for Biden. It's been trending that way, but if it didn't go to Biden, that would be another positive sign for Trump. Texas, you know, if it's some miracle that Biden wins Texas, that would be a huge indication that it's going to be Biden's night. And then Arizona and some of those upper Midwest states, you know, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Michigan, obviously, those are the big ones.
And on Pennsylvania, the fight over mail-in ballots has been going on. More comments today. Where does that stand?
Yeah, I mean, as it stands right now, they still have up to 3 days after today to receive ballots that were postmarked by Election Day. And I noticed there's a little mini fewer in Lancaster County in Pennsylvania, which is a Republican area in the southern central part of the state, where a Republican county commissioner said today that any ballots that they receive after today, they are in the mail, they're just going to, quote unquote, set aside and not count, which seems to go against the Supreme Court ruling that came out last week. So there's still a lot of wrangling going on over mail ballots, and we're just going to have to see how that plays out over the next 48, 72 hours.
On this election day, where the candidates go might tell you about what their thought process is and their chances of winning. Where was President Trump? Where was Joe Biden? And what did it tell you?
Well, President Trump it told me by his actions today that he's finally maybe a little bit tired. He went to the only place he visited today was his campaign headquarters, which is just across the river in Arlington, Virginia. And he spoke there to his campaign staff and thanked them for their hard work and then talked to reporters a little bit. He was sounding hoarse. which I don't blame him for being after 14 rallies in the last 3 days. He got back to the White House this morning at around 3 a.m. from his final rally in Michigan. And Joe Biden did have two campaign events in Pennsylvania today, which again tells you how important that state is. He was in Philadelphia early this afternoon and was in a neighborhood greeting supporters, and several people were calling out to him, "President Biden." So I'm sure he sounded like the sound of that.
Do you think we're going to know who won the presidency tonight?
Boy, I don't think so. If by tonight you mean around breakfast time tomorrow, possibly. I don't know. I just don't have a good feel for that. Pennsylvania, everybody keeps pointing to as a very, very important state. And, it depends whether it's a tidal wave for one side or the other. And, the number of outstanding mail ballots maybe wouldn't make a difference. Then, yes, then you might know tonight. But otherwise, it still could be up in the air for a couple of days.
And finally, I want to get your view on this. President Trump, when he was at the campaign headquarters in Arlington, he said, "We're going to have a tremendous success." He said, "I think success brings us together. Success is going to bring unity. Everyone should come together." If he wins re-election, what do you see happening next?
Well, I don't see any of that, and it's a nice soundbite for election day. But the fact is, he's spent the past year or more demonizing almost everybody on the Democratic side, and storefronts in cities across the country right now are boarded up, awaiting demonstrations and possible violence and looting over whatever happens tonight. So I think we have a long way to go on that front.
Dave Boyer, White House correspondent for The Washington Times. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Mike.
Politico is reporting that President Donald Trump said Tuesday that he would declare himself the winner of the 2020 election only when there's victory, acknowledging that there's no reason to play games. The Politico article reporting on what the president said on Fox News. And this from Bloomberg reporter Jennifer Epstein, who tweets, "In Wilmington, Joe Biden tells us, if there's something to talk about tonight, I'll talk about it. If not, I'll wait till the votes are counted the next day." Washington Today continues in a moment.
Election Day is here, November 3rd. Stay with C-SPAN to learn who the voters select to lead the country as president, and which parties will control Congress. Our live coverage starts tonight at 9 Eastern and continues through Washington Journal at 7 a.m. Eastern. Join the conversation, share your experience as the results come in, and hear from the candidates. Watch live on C-SPAN and C-SPAN.org, or listen live on the C-SPAN radio app. Election night on C-SPAN, your place for an unfiltered view of politics.
Welcome back to Washington Today. A few more headlines. A federal judge in Washington, D.C. on Tuesday ordering the U.S. Postal Service to sweep mail facilities in regions that have been slow to process mail ballots to ensure that no ballots have been held up. The director of the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, Christopher Krebs, says Election Day itself is only halftime, telling reporters there may be other events or activities or efforts to interfere and undermine confidence in the election. And a federal judge in Chicago striking down a Trump administration immigration rule that would deny green cards to immigrants who use food stamps or other public benefits. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi spoke to reporters earlier today about this election season and what's ahead for the House Democrats. She also addressed what might happen if former Vice President Joe Biden wins the presidency.
I spoke to just about all the candidates, both our incumbents who are running for re-election in difficult districts, our frontline, as well as the red to blue candidates over the weekend. They're all very optimistic. You wouldn't run if you didn't think you had a chance to win. But something special is going on out there now. And the what's happening on the ground, there's sort of a magical just inspiration to get people to the polls. So I feel absolutely certain that under Chair Bustos' leadership, we will solidly hold the House. I'm not going to say a number, but there's a range. Even the people who do this math all the time have a range of saying, well, you can win 10 to 20, but it could be 5. So in any event, we have the resources there, both financial, the three M's in all of these places, because we believe that we can win many seats. But in every case, we hope that it could help win the Senate and win the White House, in addition to which help win state and local elections, too, because, as you know, redistricting is on the line in these races as well. But let me just say, getting back to the very first question about this election, we believe that this normally, and of course, there's nothing normal about what's in the White House, but normally this would be the start of healing. People are expressing themselves or making a decision in a democracy, and we would start the healing process. And that is what we hope to do. So when we say be calm, be patient, be confident about how we will win, that is to just pave the way for something that reaches out to everyone in our country. And as Joe Biden has said, he's running as a Democrat, but he's going to govern everyone in our country, whether they voted for him or not. So we need to heal, and we need that process to begin as soon as possible. One would have thought it would have been as people started to vote, but the president, for the next few weeks, has decided that he would be disruptive rather than unifying. Joe Biden is a unifier, and that's why his candidacy will succeed and his presidency will bring our country together.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi earlier today during a virtual press conference joined by Illinois Representative Sherry Bustos, chair of the DCCC, the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee. You can find the entire event on our website, our video library at cspan.org. On Wall Street today, the Dow was up 554, NASDAQ up 202, S&P up 58. At the White House, National Economic Council Director Larry Kudlow spoke to reporters on the front lawn about President Trump's chances of winning re-election and the closing message on the state of the economy as Americans go to the polls.
The stock market was definitely rallying because it knew I'd be on the air this morning. That's a joke. You can laugh.
You can't stay behind the mask.
It's okay. Stu Varney left. You can laugh, too. I don't honestly know. You know, day to day, what's going on with stocks? Is there political forecast? I think the market has been worried about the virus increases in Europe and the shutdowns. Perhaps they're less worried today. As you know, our policy, we are opposed to shutting down the economy or businesses. We tried that in a dire emergency last winter. We do what we had to do. To keep doing that again would be folly. The cure would be worse than the problem. Enormous damages and consequences for that sort of thing. So we do not want to shut down. As long as the president is reelected, you'll hear lots and lots about that.
Mr. Kudlow, how does the administration feel about the terrorist attack in Vienna at this moment, about the terrorist attack in Austria?
You'll have to ask Ambassador O'Brien. It's out of my lane. Anything else, fellas, gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen?
About Afghanistan?
Sorry?
The future United States will continue their assistance with Afghanistan?
He's
the economic advisor.
Ask Ambassador O'Brien. It's outside my lane.
One more related to the election.
You're very lively this morning. It's good.
One more related to the election. There have been a number of the president's, you know, outside advisors, people you know well, who have encouraged him to talk about the economy more in the closing days of the campaign. What do you think of the economic message that he's been delivering on the campaign trail? And should he have talked about his economic record more?
I think he's done a good job. Look, there's a lot of advice inside the administration that encouraged him there. I think going back to when the president spoke virtually to the Economics Club of New York, and you had Chicago Economics Club hooked in, Florida, I believe Pittsburgh as well, I think that was a great message he made, a great economic message. And that was about, I think, 3 weeks ago or so. Subsequently, I spoke to those groups as well. I think his emphasis and his statement on the economy were terrific and very focused and concentrated with numbers. I encouraged him to do that. We had a good long session right before the debate where he did a great job. And it's a great, people say it's his strongest suit. Well, it's one of his strongest suits for sure, and it's on everybody's mind. But the key point that he's made time and time and time and time again is you have a clear choice, really a clear choice. The other team's going to raise taxes and regulations and probably doom us to stagnation and decline and pessimism. The Trump team, on the other hand, will continue on the path of growth and prosperity and optimism by cutting taxes and regulations, energy independence, good trade deals. We want growth. We want opportunities for everybody. We want more of the record low unemployment for every single group, blacks, Hispanics, Asians, women's, with high school education, without high school. We want to get back to that point. We are well on our way in a V-shaped recovery. This economy right now is booming, and it's a blessing, and part of it has to do with the reopening of the economy and the rescue package and Trump policies, which will be continued. So that's my take. I think he's done a great job on the economy.
Larry Kudlow earlier today at the White House. Later, while on Fox Business, he rejected the notion of another economic shutdown in the U.S. to curb a spike in coronavirus infections. He said, quote, "We did what we did last winter. We're at a different place now. We have vastly better equipment, much more knowledge and experience. We know how to do targeting so far as any community spread. Closing down the economy is a bad idea," end of quote. According to Fox News, Director Kudlow's comments come as large swaths of Europe implement new lockdown measures. Germany entered a partial shutdown on Monday. Britain and Austria will follow this week, shuttering restaurants, bars, and halting many leisure activities. But certain places in the U.S. that have seen a flare-up in COVID infections also closing down parts of their economies, including Illinois, which banned indoor dining, Denver, Colorado, tightening its restaurant and social gathering restrictions, and El Paso, Texas, announcing a two-week shutdown of non-essential services beginning Thursday. You can find the entire interview with Larry Kudlow at foxnews.com. And now a look at some battleground states this election day. In Pennsylvania, Secretary of the Commonwealth Kathy Buchvar saying Tuesday morning more than 2.5 million out of the 3 million mail-in ballots sent out across the state have been returned. She and the Deputy Secretary Jonathan Marks held a press conference. Here's a question about turnout from CNN's Sarah Murray.
I just wanted to start to get a little bit more clarity on these ballots that might be coming in after 8 p.m. by mail. I know that you guys have advised counties to segregate them and that they can begin counting them when they come in. What is the mechanism, though, for reporting that? Will those totals be reported on the website somewhere separately? And then my other question is just if there is an update at all on counties that do not plan on canvassing until tomorrow morning, if that number is still at 9 or if it's changed.
So Deputy Secretary Marks, let's start with the second one first. I don't think the numbers of counties that have much changed. Do you, about who's planning to start when?
No, we did have our staff reach out to a handful of counties to confirm that they were in fact doing a pre-canvass, but the number of counties that weren't hasn't changed. Now there are a couple of those counties on that list are doing some of the pre-canvass activities today, vis-a-vis examining the envelopes. And doing that sort of front end process. They're just not actually going to open the inner envelope and tabulate until tomorrow. So they are doing part of the pre-canvass. They just won't begin tabulation of ballots until tomorrow. But no, we haven't. Nothing we've learned this morning indicates that a whole lot has changed in the last few days.
And I wanted to say the number of voters that are represented in these counties is very small. It's a tiny fraction of the total mail-in and absentee ballot counting in Pennsylvania. So I want to be clear, I don't think any of that will impact how long it takes to count the ballots in Pennsylvania. Like the counties that have hundreds of thousands, it's going to take them longer anyway. So I just want to be clear, the estimate of time frame that we'll have the overwhelming majority of ballots counted within a couple of days still stands, regardless of whether it's 5 or 7 or whatever number of counties that are waiting till tomorrow morning. Most of them are small. Jonathan, I don't know if you want to talk about the first question as well. Which now
I'm trying to recall the first question.
Sarah, can you repeat it, or Wanda?
Yeah, if you, it was just how we will actually get the, you know, the numbers. The ballots that would be coming in after PM and in the following days. I mean, I know they can start counting, but how will those numbers be made public?
Do you want to talk a little bit about the guidance, Jonathan? And I mean, they're going to be segregated, right? I mean, so it's going to all be trackable because they'll be segregated. Jonathan, I don't know if you want to add anything to that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't. You know, we'll be able to report totals by group. But I don't know that if your question is that going to be obvious on our website? The answer is no, not in the short term. But once counties start reporting those returns, we'll be able to delineate between how many votes were cast on ballots that were received by the 8 p.m. deadline versus how many votes are from those ballots after the 8 p.m. The normal statutory deadline of 8 p.m. on election.
Jonathan Marks, Deputy Secretary of the Commonwealth, and Kathy Buchvar, the Secretary of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, virtual news conference today. We expect more updates as the night goes on. The governor, Tom Wolf, has already scheduled 2 press conferences on the ballot counting. And now to Florida. This morning on C-SPAN's Washington Journal program, we spoke with Stephen Contorno of the Tampa Bay Times about his prediction for tonight's returns.
The recent story you looked at said it was prediction time when it comes to today. What was the assessment from what you're seeing going on?
Yeah, well, we regularly poll some of the insiders, we call them, who are the operatives, the campaign officials, the party insiders, the experts who really, really are in the know inside Florida politics. And the conventional wisdom is that most of them give a slight advantage to President Trump in Florida. This is a state where Republicans have a lot of muscle memory for victory. They've had a tough time. Democrats have had a tough time winning statewide elections here where President Obama is not on the ballot. And so Republicans get a slight edge in that regard. However, we are seeing Democrats go into voting on election day with a slight advantage in their turnout so far. Of course, Republicans say that more of their voters are going to show up today.
What's the expectation of turnout?
That sort of remains to be seen. We've had so much early voting that it's hard to know if people were just shifting how they vote to earlier in the process. You know, people could, voting by mail is a pretty tried and true method here, and a lot of more people are taking advantage of it this year because of the pandemic more than years past. We saw record numbers in early voting as well. So it's unclear if that turnout will carry over to election day, where we're going to see, you know, 80% in some of these large counties that are traditionally Democratic strongholds, or if more people just decided to vote early and we're going to see sort of a steady but not as energetic rush to the polls today as perhaps in most presidential elections.
One of the stories that you wrote in the lead up to today was a focus on Hillsborough County there in Florida. Tell our voters where that is in the state and why is it important to look at that part?
Yeah, Hillsborough County is the county that surrounds Tampa, which is, you know, one of the largest cities in the state. It makes up a big chunk of one of the largest media markets in the entire country. More ads have been run in Tampa than just about anywhere in the country. And it's a bellwether, or has been in the past, from 1960 to 2012. It chose the president correctly in all but one election. However, that streak was broken in 2016. When Hillary Clinton did better here than just about anywhere else in the state. And the question now going forward, is this a bellwether or is this a Democratic stronghold in a place where Democrats hope to sort of offset some of the losses they're going to see in rural parts of the state? And it's growing very quickly. It's sort of emblematic of a lot of the growth we're seeing across the state, where you have so many Puerto Ricans moving here, so many middle-class people, a lot of millennials moving into our downtowns. It's really, it's also demographically, it's basically a microcosm for not just the state, but the entire country. If you look at the wealth, the socioeconomic status, race and gender breakdowns, it's pretty much identical to the country. So a lot of people look to it to see sort of where the presidential overall turnout is going to be.
Tampa Bay Times political editor Steve Contorno joining C-SPAN on this morning's Washington Journal. Also on the Journal, on Texas, Grommer Jeffers with the Dallas Morning News.
So let's start with why Texas?
Well, Texas has long been a Republican stronghold. A Democratic presidential candidate hasn't won here since 1976 when Jimmy Carter beat Gerald Ford. But that could, quite frankly, that could change tonight. Voting here has been intense. There have been 9.8 million people vote early already. That is more than the people who voted in total in 2016. I can tell you Democrats had hoped for about 10.5 million people to vote total in this election. It could be 12 million people who vote when it's all said and done. And that bodes well, in theory, for Joe Biden, who feels like an expanded electorate, more people voting, that gives him a better chance of winning Texas, even though it's been reliably red for so long.
As far as polling is concerned, what's the difference between the two men?
It's margin of error polling. I mean, Trump in most polls has a slight lead, 1 or 2 points. There's some polls that show Biden leading. A Dallas Morning News, University of Texas at Tyler poll had Biden with a slight lead a couple of weeks ago. So it's all been in the margin with error, and it's been like that all summer throughout the fall. And as you know, a margin of error race is a race that you have to take seriously. So it's going to be close. A Republican consultant told me last night it will be cringeworthy close, that Republicans will be up all night worried about it. We'll have to see. It's still a Republican state. But again, there's a chance that Democrats can break through here.
A big state. How many expected to vote in person today?
A few million, and that's expected to be largely a vote that favors Republicans. As I heard listening to the show here, Republicans have been waiting for Election Day for whatever reason to get out to vote. Traditionally, the Republican vote statewide here on Election Day is larger than the Democratic vote. The question is, how much of a lead did they bank with early voting? And can they get also voters out on Election Day? Are there new voters in this process that will wait for Election Day and vote for Biden and other Democratic candidates?
When it comes then to the legal challenges to these votes, we've already had a couple leading up to even today. Talk about the state of the legal challenges.
Well, you know, the big one was in Harris County, where 127,000 ballots were at stake that were cast in so-called drive-through voting locations. A judge upheld that those ballots can be counted, 127,000 of them. So that is positive if you want every vote counted. But also, the Harris County officials have decided to only have one drive-through location for Election Day. That's at a place that's clearly a building. State law says if you're going to have these locations, it should be attached to some sort of facility. They sure they comply with state law, and they don't want to put other ballots at risk because of these legal challenges that are going on. So it was a victory for Democrats of sorts, but Republicans were able to knock down the drive-through locations in Harris County down to one.
Grommer Jeffers is a political writer with the Dallas Morning News. You can find the entire Washington Journal program on our website, cspan.org. And stay with C-SPAN all night as polls close and results come in. Our coverage begins 9 p.m. Eastern on C-SPAN Radio and C-SPAN Television. Listen wherever you are on the free C-SPAN Radio app. Thanks for joining us on Washington Today. We hope you enjoy the rest of your evening.